Salutations. We are pop culture. And welcome back to episode 31 of Pop Culture, which is titled, Can We Take Back the Brat Pack? I don't know why, I just like that title. Anyway, but that's why I liked it, it rhymes. Before we get started, though, we are five men of a certain age sitting on the porch just reminiscing and talking about just different subjects from the past and sometimes the present about pop culture. I am your host, Brian Burchett Ross. It feels like it's been forever since we've done this to me. But
I think there's a couple week delay before we got back together. So
vacations and stuff like that.
Shows
that we may have been working on.
Trips out of the country.
What's that?
Trips out of the country.
Yeah, that's coming up. Yeah, I want to introduce my cohorts, my compadres, my buddies that are on the porch with me. We have
David War,
and we have
Jeff Finley,
and we have
Ron Roberts,
and we have
Robert Youngland.
Yes, we're all back, and today we will be talking about the Brat Pack. Because did any of you actually watch the Hulu documentary?
Yes. No, but I did rewatch the original Ocean's 11. So.
Kind of the same. I did say
Frank is my favorite.
Brat Pack. Brat Pack, Dave. Brat, not rat.
Oh.
Brat
Pack. Well, then I'm not ready for today's episode.
Well, before we get to that episode, I was in...
Joey Bishop doesn't get the credit he deserves.
It's going to be a long episode, folks.
No, let's talk about backpacks.
Never mind.
Back to school? I graduated. I really did.
Next episode, Ron. Next.
Oh.
I want to let. I was in. My husband and I went to San Diego for a library conference, and while I was there, we wandered into a candy store, as I'm likely to do, and I saw something that made me go, "Huh, that reminds me of my buddies on the porch."
Oh.
So I picked you all up a little something.
No, you did not.
It's mixed nuts, I bet.
I've seen that can before.
I know, right? Don't open it.
You know what pops out. Now, this actually goes so far back that it goes to our sister podcast, the Art and Business of Community Theater. And Mr. Yeoman started this trend. And when I saw these, I went, oh, that's funny. So I'm going to give Bob his first. It's candy. However,
candy's good.
It's in cereal boxes.
Oh, look at that.
So it's nothing but pure sugar fun, which I'm sure Bob needs. Delicious Fruityos is Bob's gift from me.
Thank you.
Ron, you have the gummy bears. So because you're just a big bear, just a big lovable bear.
Thank you.
Jeff?
Yeah.
I'm giving you sour worms, but don't take that too personally.
I'm honored.
Yes. So,
kind of like a grub.
But like I said, because it says here, because breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and what's better for breakfast than...
Oh, thank you, sir.
You can literally smell the sugar through the box.
You can.
Yeah.
Now, however, the final one, I don't even know if these are going to be edible. I don't know how long they sat on the thing. So I'm not giving... This one, I immediately thought of Dave, Marshmallow Mania.
Oh,
so it's you can have like Lucky Charms without the, that garbage.
Without the healthy stuff.
Yeah,
no, I've got a Best Buy date on my gummy bears of June 19th, 2025. So I'm good.
Okay, good.
Mine's December 29th, 2024, so.
Okay, well, eat them fast.
I got to eat fast.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. I will not look at my date.
I just thought that I saw them. I thought, cereal candy, that just goes right in with everything that we talk about.
San Diego is wonderful.
It is a nice town.
My sister lived there since 1975, 76. Yeah.
Oh.
You did notice this was distributed by a company out of Florida.
No, I did not.
Yeah. Deerfield Beach, Florida.
Oh.
So,
So
you bought it in San Diego, but it
comes from Florida. Yeah. Well, I didn't think I didn't know where. At least it's a
you just like
states. It. Yeah, I just.
It's a nice gift.
Well, thank you for the gift, Brian.
It's the most honest of cereals because it just says it right on the label. It's sugar.
It's sugar. Yeah. It's just sugar.
No nutritional value added.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I took care of that. Mark that off.
It's funny too. It says it has 8 servings.
I doubt that.
8 servings?
Yeah, I'd say 1, maybe 2.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
I'm not sure how much is actual box and how much is the actual stuff, but
8 ounces.
It feels like it says eight ounces.
That should be a good amount.
Yeah, it should. Hey, listen.
At least marshmallows. I don't know how much.
We are dropping. We are recording this on what is today's date? July 25th. 2024, and you all are going to be getting this, a nice surprise. You're going to get this coming Monday. We're going to drop this. So you're going to get actually only one in August for pop culture. You're getting an extra one in July. The reason being, as Bob alluded to earlier, my husband and I, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, we're all going to Ireland.
We're all going to Disney World. Yeah, no. My husband and I are going to Ireland and Scotland for 16 days. So I'm going to get these up and out before we leave. But this being the day before, is anybody planning on going to see Deadpool and Wolverine this weekend?
Yep, I'll be there tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? Yeah, nice. Anybody?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
No.
Jeff looks like, am I getting kicked out? Am I saying no?
My experience is the first weekend is too crazy, and I'm just, I'm late.
I'll
probably see Twisters this weekend because I didn't see it last weekend.
I hear that's pretty good. I hear that there's a screen in certain places that do it almost around.
Really?
Yeah, that's supposed to be pretty wild to see it there, but
wow.
You know. Anyway, so, but yeah, that's coming out. I'm looking forward to it. I got my tickets tomorrow afternoon. So that's the nice thing about making your own schedule is you can go to movies when you want.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. So once everybody sees it, except Jeff.
No, I thought I'd seen it. Wasn't planning on this weekend.
This weekend, yeah. So maybe by the next recording, we can chat about that and see what we all thought.
Okay.
Sure. Anyway, so.
Quiz?
Can we take back the Brat Pack? Sorry, we're gonna get into this now. 1980s, there were several actors that were huge, and they were young. And as was discussed in the Hulu series,
I was just thinking that's about when Marlon Brando hit his peak weight.
Orson Welles was still,
still
pushing the fish sticks,
fish sticks.
And the wine. But
the void when.
I can't pull it.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm catching it. They talk about what made me want to do this was the fact that I saw that Hulu documentary that Andrew McCarthy had done about called Bratz, and it made me remember so that there was that time period that some of those stars were so huge, and as they say in the documentary, it was a kind of a turning point for Hollywood because Hollywood started making these movies for young people, St. Elmo's Fire and Outsiders and Outsiders a little different, but 16 Candles and all that. And so I thought, well, you know what? Let's go down that road, do some reminiscing. We'll talk about the documentary, but before we do. I want to let's lay some groundwork here. Who were officially the Brat Pack? Now, I looked up several different internet places, and pretty much the ones that are the Brat Packers are Emilio Estevez, which was the unsung president or the one who seemed to be the leader, Anthony Michael Hall. Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
I have a but okay. He's listed in every one of them.
Yeah, must be true.
No, I'm not saying he's true, but I'm just saying he was listed in every one.
I'll make a comment about that.
Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Ally Sheedy. Those seem to be the big ones. Now, others that were grouped in there, or as they say in the documentary, adjacent, were Robert Downey Jr., Tom Cruise, which I don't believe in. I agree with you. I don't think Tom Cruise was, but because he was in one movie with a bunch of Brat Packers.
So you had that one fantasy film, which they said, "Oh, he's supposed to be 12 years old in this."
Yeah.
Legend. Yeah. That was a great movie. Yeah. Tim Curry.
Tim Curry. Yeah.
Also listed in here was Patrick Swayze.
No.
Agreed.
James Spader.
Nah.
And Kevin Bacon.
No way.
Matthew Broderick.
No.
John Cryer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
They're all about 5 years off.
Well, but they were all kind of roaming around there. John Cusack and Joan Cusack. Nicolas Cage.
No.
I never. Jamie Gertz. I don't even know who that is.
Carry on.
Oh, beautiful. Ron's gone right to the Google already. Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah.
Leah Thompson.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then these last two blow my mind. Kiefer Sutherland and Sean Penn.
No.
Sean Penn only because of Fast Times at Regimental High.
Yeah, but that don't.
He doesn't. No, he shouldn't be. No.
Yeah.
But that's what it's because that was a teen movie. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I bet
if Sean Penn was called a brat back then, even now, he would probably rip your face off.
Yeah, he probably would.
So Jamie Gertz was in Less Than Zero and The Lost Boys.
Okay. Oh, I know who she was. She had a TV show for a while, too.
Square Pegs.
Yes, but she had another one where she played the mother.
Twister. Still Standing?
That's it.
The Neighbors?
Maybe it was Neighbors. I don't know.
Oh, look at that. She's part owner of the Atlanta Hawks. Well, how about that?
Oh
look at that. Well, there goes that trivia question. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Who won that one, Brian?
Redskins? Thank you. And then they listed what they consider to be the Brat Pack movies. And in that list I have that I went through, Class, which starred Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy. Fresh Horses, which was Andrew McCarthy and Molly Ringwald. That was in 1988.
Straight to video.
Yeah, I think close. Blue City, which was Judd Nelson and Ally Sheedy. Now, I remember that one. That was he came home just to prove who killed his father, and he was a kind of a jerk, and no one liked him, but he still saved the day. Oxford Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't remember that one either. That's Rob Lowe and Ally Sheedy were the two big ones in that.
I remember the box on the shelf at Blockbuster.
Good old Blockbuster, yeah. Yeah. St. Elmo's Fire, yes. Which was a big one. Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, not Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Andrew McCarthy, Judd Nelson, Demi Moore, and Ally Sheedy were all in that. Mm-hmm. Betsy's Wedding.
I've heard of that one.
Which was Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy, directed by Alan Alda.
Oh!
So, Wisdom, which was actually written and directed by Emilio Estevez, and as well as starred in with Demi Moore. The Outsiders is considered a Brat Pack movie. Which,
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we're all shaking our head no there. But since it had Rob Lowe and Emilio Estevez, it had to be a Brat Pack movie. 16 Candles,
yes.
Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall. Pretty in Pink, Molly Ringwald and Andrew McCarthy. About Last Night was Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. And then, of course, The Breakfast Club. which had Judd Nelson and Anthony Michael Hall and, you know, Ally Sheedy and Amelia Estevez and all that.
Molly Ringwald was that one too.
What's that?
Wasn't Molly Ringwald in Breakfast Club?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Molly Ringwald was,
that,
oh, yeah.
That was probably, that and St. Elmo's, probably the most Brat Packish of the movies.
Yeah. They were. Yeah, absolutely. And probably the two, other than 16 Candles, was probably those were the three biggest, I would say, biggest hits. But real quick here, let's start with the documentary, which some of you have seen, some of you haven't, which was written and done by Andrew McCarthy.
Based on his book as well.
Based on his book. And gentlemen, I know we were talking before the rest showed up. I think we were all kind of in agreement that was not what we thought it would be.
No. In fact, I was going to mention, and I'm glad you did some research on this, I was going to mention that I thought Anthony Michael Hall should have been in that. I didn't realize when you did the research that he came up with his name, actually. I'm glad to hear that, because I thought he was part of that whole genre there. But he was not in the documentary at all. Didn't even say that we attempted to contact him.
No.
But he, you know, that, Weird Science, all those other 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Was he on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, he was on Saturday Night Live. But I think, I think it was self-serving. We talked about this. Use your words. I thought it was self-serving for Andrew McCarthy. I do. I was not impressed by it. If anything, if you enjoyed seeing people cringe and get upset as they're being talked to, yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't what I was expecting to see.
I think the other thing that it did is it hammered home the idea that we don't know these people. Mm-hmm. And just because you assume that, oh, they're all 22, 23, they're in these movies, and they're all buddy-buddy friends, they're not. Mm-hmm. And even the people that he did talk to, two of them looked very forced, almost to the point where it looked like, I'm going to talk till he gets out of my house, and then I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
So I think that it just shows, and maybe the underlying point of this is maybe Andrew McCarthy is just not that guy. Yeah. Because, you know, Molly Ringwald wouldn't pick up the phone.
No.
Judd Nelson wouldn't pick up the phone.
No.
They didn't mention Anthony Michael Hall.
No.
Why is that?
No. Right.
You know, Ally Sheedy looked like she was negotiating with a hostage situation.
Emilio
Estevez was in his kitchen, which all of us know that if you talk to somebody in your kitchen, you don't offer them a chance to sit down. Yeah. You don't want them there.
Yeah. So, and not only that, but he kept... I just thought it was the dynamics of that Emilia was on one side of that island, and he kept Andrew McCarthy on the other side.
The other thing that struck me as funny is, how did you notice how everybody met him outside at his car?
Oh.
Like, oh, hey, Andrew, hey, how about we just do this right here?
Yeah.
Although Rob Lowe did embrace him.
Well,
Rob Lowe did.
But I also think Rob Lowe has been through so much that he realizes that, okay, maybe we're not going to talk about my scandal from the Lincoln, so.
I agree with all of that. It was a cross between Andrew McCarthy saying, my life sucked after this because of this article, and I'm still upset about it 40 years later, and this is my therapy. This is how I'm going to try and get myself somewhere else mentally.
Now, I didn't watch it, but how much of what you saw do you think was true documentary and how much was scripted? Because, you know, if they're playing into his book, sometimes people say, yeah, I'll go along with the joke, or I'll do this to do what you want to do, because clearly, you know, he wrote a book.
Right.
He's not going to write him, say, well, gosh, I was at fault on all these things.
Right.
Celebrities tend to write books to absolve themselves of blame.
It's hard to say, because I didn't read the book, so I don't know exactly what was in the book. I just know that as far as the actors that he interviewed that were Brat Pack, quotation mark, to me, yes, they could have been acting their reactions, but I think they were genuine reactions.
I do too.
And I think, to some degree, they have all embraced the idea that, okay, we were given this title. Maybe at the time that skyrocketed their career, but it also, as typical of things go, it could have sabotage your career as well, because nobody ever takes him seriously. Right. I don't know. I don't know what was in the book. I don't know what he said about Emilio Estevez in the book, but I know Emilio Estevez was very ticked off about the whole thing. And
to move the conversation probably in a different, slightly different direction, the whole concept of the backpack, you know, that was just something clever that someone came up with in the media.
Correct.
A play on the Rat Pack, but the reality is, if you look at the Rat Pack, I believe those guys hung out together.
Yes.
Yeah, and there was partying going on with the Brat Pack, but they didn't have that same kind of cachet as the Rat Pack did, really. They weren't, you know, they happened to show up at a couple different parties, but they weren't in the movies together, like you say.
Right.
Two or three of them, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying is somewhat of a misnomer to even try to, as Ron was pointing out, it's really not even fair to try to lump them together.
Right. And that was, and that's actually what they said that several times. They said, we never really, all of us weren't like this, this group that were constantly together. The gentleman who wrote the article in the New York Magazine was David Bloom. And and who actually was in the
documentary.
That was the biggest.
Well, you know what? You and I may end up disagreeing a little bit on this, because I'll tell you what. I go back and forth, and as I said, bottom line for me was this was just nothing more than Andrew McCarthy screaming, "My life wasn't fair because of you." However, I do think they did get a bit of a raw deal at times. I do think their careers, they were doing good. They were, like we said before we started, they were in their 20s. They were hit after hit after hit. They're good actors, for the most part. I've never been a fan of Judd Nelson myself. But they were pretty good, and Andrew McCarthy's okay. But they were good actors, and some of them went on. Demi Moore went on for huge success, as did, Emilio Estevez actually had a good career even after that.
Rob Lowe kept going on.
Rob Lowe.
Still on TV today, so.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a double-edged sword.
911s.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the 911s. Yep. So I think you know, David Bloom, the author, even said, you know, they thought I was their friend, but I wasn't. Right. And he's made comments about when he went out the night, you know, it was supposed to be just about Emilio, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, because Estevez, it was one of those moments where he was hanging around with Rob Lowe and Judd Nelson, and I'm sure 23, 24-year-olds are going to be partying.
He was 29, they were 22, and he said he was jealous.
Yeah, I was jealous.
I agree to that, but I'll let you finish your point, but I don't think we're going to disagree, but I just have an issue with how that was all just...
handled?
Yeah.
You know, so I do think this guy went after them. I think because he was jealous and ticked, and he saw the celebrity status that they had at such a young age... I don't think he said Brat Pack to be nice. Now, my problem with them is they should have embraced the hell out of it and just ran with it.
Exactly.
Marketing.
Yes. Yeah. But instead, they all got offended because they were basically still kids. You know, let's face it, 22, 23, you don't have the wisdom that you do when you're in your 40s and even halfway through your 30s. But so I do think, for me, I do think they got the raw deal with that article, but I do think that they all handled it wrong and became brats.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't a brat. I don't think they were that much of brats until the article came out, and then they got all huffy and they became brats. But I do think that part of the let's go on to this, because I want to hear what you say. That part of the documentary, when Andrew McCarthy confronts him, the fact that that guy, David Bloom, said, wouldn't even admit to half of what it was like, you know, no, I didn't destroy your lives. You destroyed your own lives. And blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, you kind of had you lit a fuse and they just took it and blew it up.
So
you don't, what are you?
I totally disagree with that, because here's the thing. He's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a right to make a career too, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what he chose to do. Now, whether they interpreted it incorrectly or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what Andrew McCarthy thought was going to happen when he went into that man's apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 years have gone by. He's had to answer the same questions. Mm-hmm. You don't think he's had to, well, why did you come up with this term? Why did you call him the Brat Pack? That's followed him around, too.
Sure.
But yet, he's continued on with his life.
Mm-hmm.
And as the wrestling fan that I am in this room, mm-hmm. I can smell a work when I see one. And that whole interaction between those two was a setup.
I would agree, more like Dave.
As far as like the actors of Estevez and Moore and Lowe, I don't necessarily know, but that was. What's he gonna say? Oh my gosh, Andrew, I'm so sorry that I did this. No, he's gonna sit there and be the pompous prick that he is.
I think what happened is he would have called him up ahead of time and said, First words out of his mouth is, what am I getting paid to do this?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Second thing is, okay, how's this going to go? You know, are you pissed at me? How, you know, because you're not going to come to my apartment if we're going to have, you know, fist to cuff. So
you think even on Andrew McCarthy, because Andrew McCarthy to me genuinely, and I didn't think he's this good of an actor, but he seemed blown away that he would not say.
But
so you're telling me you had none of this was your fault.
I think the bigger thing with McCarthy throughout this entire thing is that he's starting to realize, holy crap, everybody else has moved on. Mm-hmm. I haven't. Like Emilio Estevez, one of the first things he says is, "If we continue looking back,
you got to keep going forward,
right?"
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, "Oh, hello."
Yeah.
Demi Moore even says that. She talks about, "Well, we should have ran with it."
Yeah.
You know, I thought the biggest thing from her is how when she talked about on St. Elmo's Fire, was it St. Elmo's Fire, that they had a sober companion with her 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
She was so drunk or strung out the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I do think that Andrew McCarthy just was so caught up in how, well, why doesn't everybody else feel this way? I've had to deal with this my whole life. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
And I don't know. To me, it just came off as a cry for, like, look at me, please. I need to be remain relevant.
Yes, I need to be remembered. I was part of. Yeah, I agree with you. So back to Dave's original question, I think the actors were sincere and honest.
Yes.
I don't think any of that was actually scripted, but I think you're probably right, and I will bow to the knowledge that you have through the wrestling to say I know what fake is and that looks fake.
Well, and not only that, but even like all the pop culture experts that they had on there, I think that also was just there to feed into his ego. Like the one woman, it was just so great that there were all these great friends.
The producers and whoever else, or the talent agents.
Exactly. Just there, you guys were great. Of course, that's what they're going to say. What are they going to say? No, we should have cast you.
You guys suck.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think there were parts of it, but I do think that when you see the interaction, especially Emilio Estevez.
That was uncomfortable.
He did not want to be there.
No. I think he did that because of their friendship many years ago, and maybe the fact that he felt that he owed Andrew a little something.
Under contract for so many movies.
I'm more jaded. I would say if he was uncomfortable, he was doing it because the publicist said this would be good publicity for you.
Oh, no doubt.
No, yeah, sure.
Well, I'm not saying that that's...
He hasn't done much lately either.
You know,
no.
Yeah. But because let's face it, why did Molly Ringwald not pick up the phone? Because she didn't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, frankly, I'm
questioning why she would be included in the group, because I had to do a quick Google myself because something occurred to me. Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall, they were 6 to 8 years younger.
Oh, yeah. They were much younger.
You know, when 16 Candles came out, they were both 16.
Right.
And in 1984, the others, you know, they're my age.
Right.
You know, it's just a little difference in age. They would not have been hanging out together.
Yeah.
No.
Anthony Michael Hall
are really, to me, not part of the, going all the way back to the beginning of your thing.
Right.
I don't think they're, you know, even though they're cited as part of the Brat Pack, they aren't.
Yeah.
Because, the difference between 16 and 24 is pretty big.
Sure.
But I just think, ask Rob Lowe. Hey.
Hey. Ooh.
I mean, but it is.
You know, it is.
Yeah. It's much bigger than the difference between 34 and 40.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it is.
But I think because, and to me, and this is just my own musings, it's probably because of one movie, Breakfast Club.
Yep.
Because Breakfast Club was, out of all of them, Breakfast Club was the movie. Mm. I mean, it was their biggest hit of any of those in that generation. And because Anthony Michael Hall and Molly were in there with Judd Nelson and with Emilia Estevez and Ally Sheedy, boom, they're just right there instantly. But everything I looked up, because I kept going, let's see, who else, those were the ones constantly listed. And then they had others. They had Patrick Swayze, and they had, you know, Kevin Bacon, and I'm like, and I couldn't, you know, other than they had a cameo in this movie or a cameo. Right. I mean, because if you go down that road, JFK is a Brat Pack movie because Kevin Bacon was in it. Yeah. You know, so.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, exactly. It is interesting, though, that Sheedy did say that she did feel the article destroyed the group.
Yep.
And that she felt truly that was the first time she was a part of something, and it was blown up to pieces because of that article. So obviously, that article, whether they allowed it or not, did damage to them.
Well, again, I think it's a double-edged sword. It certainly launched their career, but on the other hand, it also, I think, for a lot of them, ended it because they had to conform to a certain, whether the producers or talent scouts or whoever else are in charge of hiring cast. I think a lot of the people looked at that when going to hire. Oh yeah, she was part of the Brat Pack thing. And, and again, we talked about this before we started recording. I'm not a fan of Andrew McCartney. I don't think he's that great of an actor. I think he's a pouty,
spoiled.
Yeah, I just was not.
If you're out there, Andrew, please call us, and you can dispute this if you'd like.
Yeah, come on here.
Come on, we'll talk to you. We won't even make it scripted.
Well, at the very, even if not scripted, at the very least, they knew that he was coming, and they knew why.
Well, yeah, they knew. He definitely knew he was coming and all that, and they knew why, which is why Molly wanted nothing to do with it, and Judd didn't call back until the show was over.
I guess the other question that I have is, where were their publicists and their managers at that point in time? Mm. To me, that's kind of who also dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you knew your client was having issues with these kind of things, get out in front of it and say, you know what, guys, let's embrace this.
Yeah.
You know, but it was interesting that, you know, talk about going back in time, the Phil Donahue show.
Yes, I thought of it.
Where that. When the film critic from Time Magazine apologized to them for that article because he said that was absolutely inappropriate. The guy never should have said what he said. So at that point, to me, it's like, your publicists, your managers, your casting people should all be out there and saying, okay, look, we need to get ahead of this. Let's embrace it.
Yeah.
Let's start putting, you know, posters out. Because who, you couldn't tell me that they couldn't have made a poster and some kids would have bought millions of those.
Oh, right? Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
And you could have played off the play on words.
Yep.
You could have taken pictures of the Rat Pack and just, you know, did another version of it with the Brat Pack, like I said, and have fun with it and embrace it. But I think that's where the young ones messed up, was because they just instantly took offense to it. And
Well, as Ron mentioned, I wonder why Anthony Michael Hall wasn't interviewed or even mentioned. I don't know. Because again, when this came out and before we came here, I thought, again, I was going to talk about Anthony Michael Hall, but I think it was a big part of that, but he was never mentioned, but then you mentioned it here, so.
Yeah.
You know, they talked to John Cryer, though.
John Cryer.
Who was in, what, one movie or two, I think.
Two.
Ducky.
He was Ducky?
He was in Pretty in Pink.
And 16 Candles, too, wasn't he?
Was he in both? No.
No, John Cusack.
He was just in one, so I'm pretty sure, he was in one.
He wouldn't be Brad Peck, either.
Right.
But they had him on there, which, ironically, I loved it when they showed him in as a young man going, I am not part of this Brat Pack.
Right.
And then they show him today going, I'm still not part of that Brat Pack.
it's all about money. Again, if you think about individuals that they did interview, I'm sure they're all doing something, but you don't see them on a big screen anymore. They don't need to be in a big screen. They're making their money elsewhere. But
they do a lot of direct to video, and the videos that show up on late KO 104.
Right. Well, and I know Judd Nelson does a lot of voice work now. I know he was in he did voice work for the Transformer movies, and I read some other stuff. But let's skip here for a few minutes. Not skip, but let's move on for a little bit. Now we were all much younger during that time. Some of us more than others, but do you have? I mean, were you interested? Did you have any? Oh no! You know what? Almost forgot.
Uh-oh.
It's been so long since we've done this. Hey, I got a question for you, but first, hit it, Julie.
Oh, gosh.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Thank you, Julie. So here's my question. Leads into just talking about the movies and the actors. So who were... I don't remember what the question was now. What was it? What did I ask you guys? Who did you find to be the most
talented
of the group? I guess that was the question. So let's start with, or we're just going to go right around the table. Let's start with Ron and move around that way. Did you find any of them, or did you think they're all talented?
No. From a talent standpoint, I still think Ally Sheedy had the best range out of all of them, in my opinion. But what do I know?
Let me
go sit in a corner and scratch my hands nervously while someone's in my house.
Ooh, Dave,
I really didn't ever think about them in terms of talent. So,
okay,
I mean they were, you know, certainly on the popular culture scene, mm-hmm. but I guess I had an older soul, and when I looked at talent in Hollywood, it wasn't that group.
It wasn't them. All right. Bob, was there any that you thought, oh yeah, they're gonna?
Whoever was selling their cocaine was doing a wonderful job. They were total fluff.
Okay.
And I haven't seen the documentary, so I can be quoted and also put me in the title bar.
All right.
They suck.
Well, okay, you heard it. And again, Emilio Estevez, or any of them, if you'd like to speak to us about that, comment.
Well, I'm not saying they're untalented. I mean,
they got cast.
Yeah. But and I certainly enjoyed the performances. But you know,
I never really would have said,
oh, you know, there's an Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually did any of them. Did any of them win Oscar? The only one is that won an Oscar that I can think of in this group, and he was adjacent. He wasn't even one, even though some people say he was Robert Downey Jr. Oh, James Spader. Did he ever win an Oscar?
No.
I don't think so. He's won Emmys.
Maybe an Emmy. Yeah, he's an Emmy for...
Yeah, he's won Emmys. Yeah. Joan Cusack. And she might have, but she's not... I don't think... Anyway.
Again, I don't consider Joan as part of the Brat Pack.
Yeah, I don't either.
When I think Brat Pack, I do think, yeah, the Emilio, Ally, the Judd...
Demi Moore.
She was up for Oscars, but I don't think she's. Yeah. I don't think she ever won. What about you, Jeff? Is there any that you just go? Yeah.
I think as far as diversity goes, although I do like Ally Sheedy, I think Demi Moore. Again, it depends on the movies that they're given to play in. I look at Emilio Estevez and the others, and yeah, Young Guns, things like that. Really not an opportunity to expose your talents, or in Demi Moore's case, your exposure or anything else. but I
striptease.
Sure, that's what I'm talking about. But I think there was a lot of diversity that she was given. I would say Demi Moore.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, I think we've hit on something here for a minute. I think part of the reason that they were disliked, so to say, is that they did do different types of films. Mm-hmm. Bob, I think, used the term fluff.
Mm-hmm.
That was their films. They weren't movies that you went to
right.
for artistic reasons.
It's they're feel not good.
Yeah. You know, yeah. they were not. It wasn't. Oh, we're going to the cinema and we're going to see some phenomenal pieces of art.
Right.
Right.
And
right.
I think that was part of the issue.
Correct.
Is that here you were these kids, quote unquote, kids making these movies that were making millions.
Yeah.
But yet. You know,
but how much of that was really due to John Hughes?
Right. Well, right.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I will say, and I'm not disagreeing with that because I think all of you are right with that. However, I do think there was two ends of that. I think when you look at a movie like, and it's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember it at the time thinking, what the hell's this about? St. Elmo's Fire. which was the movie that they wanted to be that Oscar, look at us in our angst and, you know, blah, blah.
Yeah. That was supposed to be their serious piece.
Yeah. Right. And it was so over the top, you know, it was horrible to me. But then I look at Breakfast Club, which, no, wasn't a masterpiece, but it did resonate with that age group.
Yes.
And I still, all of my kids, when they turned 15 or 16, I sat them down and watched it with them because I wanted them to see. Yeah. This is part of what you get in high school.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a much better piece than St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, yeah. In fact, of all of them, now I like 16 Candles because I enjoy Long Duk Dong.
That was fun. Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. It's Long Duk Dong. But no, when it comes to actually movies that had substance to them, and I'm going to take The Outsiders, which they say is a Brat Pack movie, out of that because that is a movie based on an excellent book, and it had much better actors than just Emilio and Rob Lowe. I mean, it had Cruz and Swayze and Matt Dillon, who I think were much, well, I know, not Tom Cruise, but sorry. But Dillon and Swayze, I think, were much better actors than any of the others.
Yeah.
But I do think Breakfast Club really was a piece of work that had some meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not Oscar worthy or anything like that.
No.
No?
No, I agree. I just think that we I don't think every movie should be held to that standard. That's all.
That it has to be Oscar?
Right. That we shouldn't, be.
To me,
in my opinion, that's not why you go to the movies.
No. You go to be entertained.
They were popcorn films.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they were.
And, you know.
No, I agree with you there, too.
Was it the beginning of rom-com?
What's that?
Was it the beginning of rom-coms?
I think rom-coms have been rom-coms. They just weren't called rom-coms.
Yeah, I think so, too.
When did it cross over between the fluff films, which we will all agree on, and rom-com? Was it when the younger started to get a little bit older and wanted a different description? So it's not like they're going to see a teen movie. We're going to go see a rom-com.
I guess I'd have to know what we define as rom-com. I mean, what movies exactly are rom-com? Like something like about Mary? Was
something
it
about
something
Mary.
About Mary? And
basically, any comedy that has a love story.
Love story to it.
Nottingham Hill.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Where the love story is the primary focus.
Right. Right.
Because you have comedies with romances in them.
Right.
But that may be secondary to the plot. It's the romance has to be primary to the plot.
Yeah.
You know, it's this guy and this gal that we know that at some point they're going to get together before the end of the movie.
Right.
Was Edward Scissorhands in rom-com?
Well, folks, according to Google, we'd have to go back to 1924 because Girl Shy was one of the first silent movies and is one of the first romantic comedies.
What was it called?
Oh.
Girl Shy.
Girl Shy.
Girl Shy.
One? Buster Keaton?
I don't have that information. But this was
good question, Jeff.
This timeless classic was also the first to end the movie with the beloved rush to the altar climactic scene. Later, with the invention of talkies, It Happened One Night was another rom-com to take the world by storm. Oh, so there you go.
It happened.
So they've been around for about 100 years.
There you go.
So there's that. So I guess in the end, we're going to wrap this up before the quiz. We all agree that it was Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
This was an episode that was much ado about. That's the new title.
I think I enjoyed the Bob Newhart special the other day.
I loved that. But we're going to get to that next episode. I love Breakfast Club, but the rest of those. And I watched 16 Candles. Yep. Those are the two that I would really, I'll sit and watch again. But other than that.
Though I do have to point out, of course, in Breakfast Club, again, only Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall are actual teenagers in that.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah.
Well, everyone else is in their mid-20s.
And John Cusack, who they said was part of that, he was in there. He just did a brief role. I mean, it wasn't a major role. Yeah. But
Well, but, you know, that's a whole different topic because we could talk about the fact that Grease, the movie, had 30-year-olds playing kids, and you know it was
community theaters where they have 40.
Well, I think we had one too.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now, what might be more telling, though, is, again, to say, you know, they blame the article for ruining their career, but the reality is that's, you know, true. Look at, you know, I'll use Anthony Michael Hall. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he makes his first career as a skinny little kid. Yeah. Not getting cast anymore of that. He leaves for a few years, hits the weight room, comes back, and yeah, now he's back on TV and doing pretty well.
Yes.
Yep.
Molly Ringwald's been here and there, but, you know, she hasn't really done a lot, but I'm not sure how much is by her own choice.
Yeah.
She was Archie Andrews' mother in Riverdale.
Right, right.
That's the last thing I remember of significance.
And she had a big role in the miniseries The Stand, the first one.
Yeah, you know, Demi Moore, certainly, other than marrying Bruce Willis, right. She certainly had a good career.
Oh, yeah, G.I. Jane. Which, by the way, never joke about that at the Oscars. But that's a whole different story.
Nelson, I would say, if his career went up and probably went more up in smoke. Yeah. Or up his nose or whatever. That really, I don't think, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I may be wrong on that, but I think he had a drug addiction problem. Did he
not? Did, yeah.
You know, so they can't blame that on an article.
Right, right.
Rob Lowe is still on TV. Yeah. Still,
oh, yeah.
Still the pretty boy who's, yeah.
He's done a lot of, well, he's done at least one or two.
Despite his other issues.
Yeah. But Rob Lowe never took. I don't know at the time whether he did or not. But it's pretty obvious now when you see him in interviews and stuff like that. Rob Lowe doesn't take Rob Lowe seriously. Rob Lowe will talk about Rob Lowe in the third person, but in a very humorous way. I mean, almost.
It's all the Atkins that he does.
That's it. That must be it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he was doing the food thing.
Yeah. But you know, he had a great run on Parks and Recreation.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, you want to do a quiz?
Sure.
Let's wrap this puppy up.
Okay.
We're going to do a quiz, gentlemen.
Big Debs?
I do have... yeah, but you're not going to be happy, Dave.
The chocolate.
I had to go chocolate at least once.
Okay.
So I was like...
I'm done.
But you could... I'm done, too.
You might have family that you know, enjoys it. You could give it to. But yes.
Oh,
Big Debs Swiss rolls.
Swiss rolls.
So, yes. So we do have some Big
Light.
But those are international.
But there is a surprise at the end of this quiz.
They're expired.
Yes, you wouldn't believe what crawls out of that. Anyway.
Listen,
it's us. Dabs.
So let's do the quiz, gentlemen. Okay. The Brat Pack quiz. Are we ready? We're going to start with Bob. All right. We're going to work our way around here. Question number one, Bob. Which of these movies is considered a Brat Pack movie, even though it doesn't star any member of the Brat Pack? Is it A, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, B, The Lost Boys, or C, Red Dawn?
I'm going to go with Lost Boys.
Jeff.
I'm going to say Ferris Bueller.
Ron.
Bueller. Bueller.
Dave.
I'm going with Bueller, too. It just feels like it would be.
Bob got it. Lost Boys.
Lost Boys?
Yeah. For some reason, that was listed more than any other, and it's like the biggest argument is, why the Lost Boys? Other than Kiefer Sutherland, who wasn't, some people thought was.
Oh, and that chick that we mentioned when we first started, she was in it as well.
Oh, Jamie Gertz.
There you go.
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah. She's actually very pretty.
She is. She might have been. She was.
Wow. Well,
I don't know. Anyways.
Okay. Jeff, you go next here. In which movie does Rob Lowe play Soda Pop and Emilia Estevez play Two-Bit? Is it A, The Outsiders, B, St. Elmo's Fire, or C, Fresh Houses?
Outsiders.
Run.
Stay Golden, Pony Boy, Outsiders.
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 Oh, yeah. That was a give me, but yeah. Number three, Ron. Can you name...
No.
...the member of the Brat Pack who played Jules Van Patten in St. Elmo's Fire in 1985? Was it A, Ally Sheedy, B, Demi Moore, or C, Mayor Winningham?
Mayor Winningham.
I'll go with Ron because I have no idea. Mayor Winningham.
Bob, Ally Sheedy, Demi Moore, or Mayor Winningham?
Ally Sheedy.
And Jeff.
I think it was Demi Moore.
It was Demi Moore. Yep. Number four, we're starting with Dave.
Sure. I got nothing on the line.
She's going to win this. Why is Samantha's sister acting weird at her wedding in 16 Candles?
Serena was her cousin.
What? Oh, no. Not that show. 16 Candles.
I wondered if we get it.
I knew. In 16 Candles, why is Samantha's sister acting weird at her wedding? A, she forgot Sam's birthday. B, she doesn't really want to get married. Or C, she took muscle relaxers.
She took muscle relaxers. She took
muscle relaxers. So did Dave, apparently.
But she did also forget it was Sam's birthday.
Yeah.
But that's not why she was acting weird.
Bob.
The horse tranquilizer.
It was the muscle relaxers.
Show me the Quaaludes.
You got it. All right. Next one is back to Bob. Number 5. What was Anthony Michael Hall's character's name in 16 Candles? Was it A, Ted, B, Tommy, or C, Terry?
Holy Toontown. What were the choices again? I'm sorry.
Ted, Tommy, Terry.
Tommy sounds obnoxious enough.
All right.
It was Ted.
Show me Ron. Ted.
And Dave.
I'll go with Ted.
It was Ted. Dear God, we're going to be splitting these. Yeah, okay. Number 6, Jeff. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I put some things in here. What was the non-Brat Pack movie that starred Andrew McCarthy and Robert Downey Jr.? And I'll tell you the story why on this question, but anyway. A, Chances Are. B, Johnny Be Good. Or C, Less Than Zero. What was the non-Brat Pack movie that starred Andrew McCarthy and Robert Downey Jr.?
I'm going to say Johnny Be Good.
And Ron?
Hazy Shade of Winter, Less Than Zero.
Dave?
I was thinking Less Than Zero, too, believe it or not.
All right, and Bob?
Less Than Zero.
It was Less Than Zero. And let me tell you the story on that one, which actually Less Than Zero is not a bad movie, I thought. The thing about that was that hit about the time that the whole Brat Pack thing was coming out, and Robert Downey Jr. and his agents pressed and said, "I do not want those words uttered anywhere near that movie." Wow. So he was adamant that is a non-Brat Pack movie, even though it did star Andrew McCarthy. 7, you. John Hughes admitted that he wrote 16 Candles in one weekend after being inspired by which Brat Packer? Was it A, Michael Anthony Hall, B, Molly Ringwald, or C, Andrew McCarthy?
Molly Ringwald.
Dave.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Bob.
Anthony Michael Hall.
And Jeff, Michael Anthony Hall, Molly Ringwald, Andrew McCarthy.
Isn't it Anthony Michael?
It's Michael Anthony, but he's not listening.
I'm going to say Anthony Michael Hall.
Ron got that. It was Molly Ringwald.
It's Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, is it?
According to my Google.
Well, then I typed it wrong. Sorry, Anthony Michael Hall. But you're not listening anyway. Number 8, where are we at?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the answer.
It was Ramali Ringwam.
Okay. Well,
Number 8.
Which makes more sense story-wise, but what the heck.
Number 8 is you?
Yep.
Can you name the movie starring John Cusack in which Demi Moore plays a hippie?
John. Okay.
Cusack, yes, John. In which Demi Moore plays a hippie. Was it A, One Crazy Summer, B, Say Anything, or C, Better Off Dead?
Oh,
I think it was Say Anything. I don't remember.
All right, Bob.
What were the categories again?
One Crazy Summer, Say Anything, Better Off Dead.
I'm just going to get a wild shot. One Crazy Summer.
Okay. And Jeff?
I don't know.
One Crazy Summer, Say Anything, Better Off Dead.
I'm going to say anything.
Say anything? All right. And Ron?
Could I have the choices again, Alex?
One Crazy Summer, Say Anything, or Better Off Dead?
I'm going to say Better Off Dead.
Bob got that. It was One Crazy Summer.
Okay. I wanted to change mine to Better Off Dead, but I was clearly going to be wrong either.
All right. We are at Jeff. Number 9. What was Ducky's real name in Pretty in Pink?
John Pryor.
Only my...
This guy.
Well, he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
It was only mentioned once, I'll tell you that, in the movie.
Who, by the way, was an interesting Lex Luthor on Supergirl.
Was he Lex Luthor on Supergirl? I didn't know that. Was it A, Bill, B, Phil, C, Rob? Bill, Phil, Rob.
Phil.
All right.
Bill.
All right.
Rob.
And Bob, was it Bill, Phil, or Rob?
Which one's left?
Well, they've all said one of them.
Oh, all right. Did I have the choices again, Alex?
Bill, Phil, or Rob?
Oh, Rob!
Who said Phil?
Me.
No, you didn't.
Yes, he did. I said Bill.
Yusuf.
He said Phil.
Oh, sneaky.
Real
sneaky.
That's it. We're gonna rumble for these Swiss rolls.
Great. All right. Number 10. That's you. Yeah. Which two Brat Packers were in the movie Fresh Horses? Was it A, Rob Lowe and Demi Moore? B, Rob Lowe and Molly Ringwald? Or C, Andrew McCarthy and Demi Moore?
B.
Rob Lowe and Molly Ringwald.
I don't even know that movie, so I'll say A.
Rob Lowe and Demi Moore.
I don't even know the theater it was playing.
Let me give you the choices again, Bob. Rob Lowe and Demi Moore, Rob Lowe and Molly Ringwald, or Andrew McCarthy and Demi Moore?
Rob Lowe and Demi.
Okay. And Jeff?
I'm going to say Andrew and Demi.
Andrew and Demi.
Oh, look at that.
Wow, look at him. Took the lead. All right. Number 11, that is
Dave.
In Weird Science, where are Wyatt and Chet's parents when they're left home alone? Were they A, in Cincinnati, B, in New York City, or C, the Bahamas?
The Bahamas.
Bob.
Bahamas.
Jeff.
Bahamas.
And Ron.
Let's go New York City.
Cincinnati would be funnier, though.
Cincinnati.
Oh.
Cincinnati. Dave was right, and it is. They're in Cincinnati. 12.
Yeah, as I started thinking about it, Cincinnati would be funnier.
12.
So it's probably the funniest thing of that whole movie, if I remember correctly.
Bob, right? What was the name of Emilia Estevez's character in St. Elmo's Fire? Ooh. Was it A, Alec Newberry, B, Andrew Clark, or C, Kirby Keeger?
Andrew Clark.
Okay. Jeff, who's producing horns for some reason.
Oh, my gosh.
Andrew Newberry and Alec Newberry, Andrew Clark, Kirby Krieger.
Kirby.
Okay.
Give me Alec.
All right.
I'm going to go with the double alliteration just as Stan Lee would, Kirby Krieger or whatever his name.
Kirby Krieger.
Yeah.
So yeah. Dave got one, and Jeff got one. All right, number 13.
First of all, fin, fang, boom.
Number 13. Which Brat Packer became the youngest member ever on Saturday Night Live? This is for you, Jeff.
Okay.
Was it A, Robert Downey Jr., B, Michael Anthony Hall, or Anthony Michael Hall, or C, Rob Lowe?
Mr. Hall.
Run.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Hall.
Maybe we should go for a different one. But no, Hall.
Yes. It was Mr. Hall. Although Robert Downey Jr. was the same time, I think, same year.
But the key was word
older.
Was
But he was older.
Yeah.
He was older.
His guess was Drew Barrymore.
Me.
Yes. Yeah, it was. You're right. Which Brat Packer hired three professional cameramen to film the birth of their first child? Was it A, Demi Moore, B, Molly Ringwald, C, Rob Lowe?
Molly Ringwald.
And Dave.
With Demi Moore.
Hmm. Okay, Bob?
Rob Lowe, he got a thing for Cameron.
You ain't wrong about that either, Bob. And Jeff?
I apologize. Can you read that again?
No. Okay. Which Rat Packer hired three professional cameramen to film the birth of their first child? Demi Moore, Molly Ringwald, Rob Lowe.
I'm going to see Demi.
Demi. So Dave and Jeff got that.
I was
that
thinking,
one.
Who had the money at the time to be able to afford three
there
professionals?
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
And I knew it had to be one of the women because I don't think that's something you spring on your wife. At that
well,
time.
But if anybody would have, it would have been Rob Lowe.
Yeah. By the way, honey.
Yeah. And by the, don't worry, the cameras will be on me.
Spread your legs.
Can we get some powder over here?
I got a Rod? Big angle over here.
Nothing. Okay.
Oh, me?
Yep. Okay. Which Brat Packer was part of Demi Moore's wedding party? Hmm. Was it A, Ally Sheedy, B, Molly Ringwald, C, Judd Nelson?
Oh, wow.
There's a
I'm going to go with Ally Sheedy.
Okay, Bob.
I'll go with the male of the group.
Judd Nelson?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff.
This is to her marriage to Bruce?
Bruce.
Who would Bruce want there?
Ally Sheedy, Molly Ringwald, or Judd Nelson?
I'm going to see Ally.
And?
Ally Sheedy.
It was Ally Sheedy. Yes, it was. And finally, last one. Bob, you start us off. I'm proud of this question.
I know what. I bet you I know what it is.
I bet you.
Mind, I've never seen any of these films.
You didn't see Breakfast Club?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Bob, as of 2024.
Oh boy, here we go.
How many times have you said that?
What is Judd Nelson's estimated net worth? I specifically look for his.
Oh, my God.
Was it A, $8 million, B, $10 million, or C, $924,000?
I'll go with a 9.
Okay. Jeff.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think he's...
$8 million, $10 million, $924,000.
$8
million. All right.
I'll take the $8 million as well.
All right.
I'll go with the $924,000.
$10 million.
$10 million.
No, $10 million.
What's
I was
he been doing lately.
Well, like I said, he does a lot of voice work now. He was in the Transformers, and there's other listed.
Well, if you do your investments right.
Oh, you know, there's that too. I didn't think he did, but we'll see.
And that's what.
Oh, $924,000.
As of this writing.
So, gentlemen. Jeff wins the
Whoa!
Swiss
World. Oh, look at that. Whee!
Whee! Jeff is the winner.
I would like to thank the Academy.
So that's our Brat Pack episode. And, you know, and like I said, much ado about nothing, apparently. But hey. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening as we wrap this one up. Our next episode will be the final in our four-part series, The Year That Was. And we are finally hitting the big time with our two more senior members of the
of the porch,
Bob and Dave, 1978. So come back for that. I want to thank the gentlemen here for being on the porch with me as always. I want to thank the Ellis Library and Reference Center for their equipment and letting us do this, and for the Impact Studios for helping these get dropped every time. So this one, folks, like I said, it'll be you're getting at the end of July. You get an extra one in July. You're only going to get one in August, although we might have something special for y'all in August too. We're going to see. You might get us in the comic book collectors would call the annual, first annual. So that might pop up. We'll see what happens. But until next time, everybody out there, please don't you forget about us, but stay off our lawn.
Judd, it's you.
But face it, you're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
inside and out, and love is strange, surreal and dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Slow change may pull us apart when our life gets in.